Hey friends, over 60% of you are listening to me right now on an Apple product. iPhone, iPad, iTunes. I need your help. The truth is, Apple will make this podcast more discoverable to new listeners the more reviews it has. So I'm here asking you to take a moment and leave a review. If you've gained any value from this podcast, the greatest thing you can do for it, besides spreading the word and telling friends, is leaving a review. It's real simple. If you're on your phone, head over to my podcast page within the Apple Podcast app and leave a review. Or if you're on a computer, you can head over to my podcast page within the iTunes app. That's it. That's all I ask. And if you have other podcasts that you love, do them a favor and do the same for them. It'll make their day. Now let's get this podcast started already. Welcome to the Gary Cantrell Podcast. Thank you guys so much if you subscribe. Thank you so much for listening, whether you just started listening to this very podcast with this very episode, whether you've been listening two or three episodes, or whether you've been listening since the beginning. I appreciate you and thank you. A little bit different format. I know I keep switching up the formats on you guys, and I like to change things up once in a while. I like to keep things fresh. I like to try to do things that are different, not because they're different, but I like to just try to freshen things up a time or two. So today on the podcast, and again, I've said this before, I've said it a million times. If you want to support the podcast, there's simple ways to do it. You can go on my website, garyspodcast.com. There's affiliate links that you can click that'll support the show. Other than that, we're going to dive right into the content. And look at that, under a minute, we're already getting the show started. So here is the deal. I posted on Instagram, I believe this was yesterday. This would have been Tuesday, the 7th. I was tagged by a friend of mine on Instagram, Stacy. Very cool to follow. Make sure you follow her. Let me get the exact username just to make sure I do not screw it up. @fatmom2fitmom89. Make sure you give her a follow if you're on the Instagram community and you're listening to this. She's awesome. So she tagged me in this post called 25 Things About Me. And I sat down with this and I decided that, I'm going to type all this stuff out. I'm going to post it. And I got a great response. A lot of you guys really enjoyed reading random factoids about me. So I figured, I didn't have a guest this week. I am working on some more guests. But as I said from day one of this podcast, it is never going to be all guest or guest heavy. There is still going to be some of me sprinkled in because, after all, it is the Gary Cantrell Podcast, or Gary's Podcast for short. And so with that, I decided, with the great response that this particular post got, what happens if I decide to do a podcast elaborating on the 25 things that you found out about me, giving a little more extra context, and I don't have to spend 20 minutes on each one, and I'm certainly not going to sit here for 3 or 4 hours and dive deep into all this stuff, but I figure, what the hell? Let's dive through some of this stuff. Some of it is, kind of like rapid fire, quick stuff. Some of it may be more elaborate. So let's just see what happens when I talk about this post. Now, if you do not know me on the Instagram world, I am @GaryCantrell. And if you're listening to this podcast, the spelling is right there. It's probably sitting there on your phone or on your computer. And you can go on my Instagram @GaryCantrell and you can read, you can follow along this list with me. And if you haven't liked it or commented, throw it a like, throw it a comment, all that good stuff. But I got such a great response that I decided, what the hell? Let's make a podcast about it. And here we go. So 25 things about me in no specific order. Number one, born and raised in Virginia, just outside of Washington, D.C., but spent some of my childhood in San Diego, California. So I grew up in Virginia, northern Virginia. If you're from Virginia, if you listen to this and you're from Virginia, you know exactly what I'm talking about. This area in Virginia is referred to by locals as Northern Virginia, which is just outside of D.C., and I spent most of my life here in Virginia. My biological father, it's hard to just call him my father. That's probably a whole other podcast for another day because, yeah, we don't really talk. But let's just say my biological father was in the Navy. And so as a result, we traveled back and forth from the Alexandria, Virginia, in that general area, to San Diego, California, a couple of times. And I spent probably, you know, out of the first 10 years of my life, probably two or three of those, not concurrent or straight or whatever that number is, 2 to 3 years of my life in San Diego. San Diego is a really nice city. I know some of you that follow me on Instagram, if you're listening, you're from San Diego, or maybe you've been to San Diego, and you know what San Diego is all about. I mean, San Diego, I don't know if I'd ever want to live there again, just because it's just such, leaves such a rotten taste in my mouth. You know, the whole thing with my father. And again, that's a whole other story for another day. I mean, I could do an hour just on that. And if there's enough demand for it, what the hell, we'll do a podcast on that. But, you know, I'm open about that. But I don't know that I'd ever live in San Diego, but I love the area. I'd love to travel there again and visit. I hear that my biological father no longer lives there, so maybe I can probably go and enjoy the city without that kind of ghost, that shadow kind of hanging over me. So we'll see. We'll see. But mostly in Virginia. I spent, you know, all of my teenage years in Virginia, and up until now, you know, basically from like 1990 on, I've been here straight. So there you go. Number two, I have never traveled outside of the United States. That is true. I've never traveled outside of the United States. You know, I don't know. I mean, first of all, to travel out of the country, there's a lot of stuff you got to go through. You got to get a passport and all this other stuff. And I just, you know, I don't know. I guess there's always been kind of this weird fear about traveling overseas to different countries. Like, you know, how are we as Americans perceived in other countries? You know, I know sometimes some of us ruin it for others. You know, like, I could be the coolest guy on the planet, but people might have this view of what Americans are like, and they think we're assholes or something. And, you know, I'm not that, but they don't know that. And I don't know how I'd be perceived over there. So it's always been like some little fear, and that and sitting on a plane for more than 5 hours straight and going across a large body of water into another country. I do think that if I ever did travel overseas, the very first place I would go would probably be England, like London, that kind of area. As you'll find out in a couple of steps later, I'm a wrestling fan, and there's a great wrestling promotion from England called Progress Wrestling. And I would love, it's a dream for me to travel over there and see Progress live in person. So I've never traveled outside the United States, but the first place I would go, London, England. Plus, I've just seen it on TV a million times, and, you know, like National Lampoon's European Vacation looks like a ton of fun. I would love to go. Number three, I am an only child. I used to joke with my mother about how I wish I had a brother or a sister. And then every time I would, you know, either meet a girl or just talk to somebody, just having that conversation where it would come up, I'd say, oh, I wish I had a brother or sister. And anybody that I ever talked to would always say, no, you don't. Like, if they've had siblings and they know, you know, like, I get it. There's this whole thing of like growing up with siblings, and it's not always the best. But, you know, being an only child, it was a little lonely for many years. And I'm kind of, you know, socially awkward to begin with. I know I've told that to people and they don't believe me. I'm like, yeah, you know, I can talk on Instagram, but my God, you meet me in person and I'm just really awkward. Not deliberately. It's just kind of how I'm wired, I guess. But anyway, I'm an only child, so it's always been weird for me. You know, I've always wished that I had, you know, preferably a brother, I guess, you know, another guy that we could kind of, you know, be bros and hang. But luckily, through life, I've got a couple of, you know, best friends and a cousin who I consider like brothers. So that in itself works for me. You know, they're like brothers, so I'm good with it. There you go. Number four, in addition to my day job, I just got a notification covering up that one. Sorry. In addition to my day job, number four, in addition to my day job in podcasting, I'm also a musician and songwriter. True story. In 1995, this is another one. I'll come back to it. But around 95, I learned how to play guitar. I'll elaborate on that as we get to that step because it comes later in the 25. And I never turned back. You know, I always, growing up in elementary school, you know, I tried the saxophone. I think I tried the cello, you know, all these different things. And they just never worked out. And then finally, I remember that I had interest in a guitar. And my mother went to the music store. She rented one. And she saw that it was actually something that I was taking seriously. And she said, okay, it's time to return this guitar. And I packed it up. And I was taking it downstairs. And she said, I'm just kidding. Surprise, I bought it for you. And that really started something for me. And around 97 was the first time I ever fell in love. And so, and a little later on in 97 was the first time I ever had my first real heartbreak. So, you know, writing music, emotional acoustic songs before I knew what emo was three or so years later, I was writing all these love songs on the acoustic guitar. And for years thereafter, I mean, I was probably actually like active in music from, you know, the late 90s all the way up until 2007 was when I was in my last band. I was a front man. You guys see me like on Instagram Throwback Thursday. I posted some old pictures. I found some older ones I'm going to post here soon as well that I have never seen before. So really excited to share those with you guys. But yeah, I mean, I thought I had a good run. And then almost two years ago now, my cousin and I, who was in my first band with me, reunited just kind of in life, and we decided to start writing music together, and we went and released two songs on iTunes and Spotify and all that stuff under the moniker The Yielding. Now, he at one point had a good understanding of what the hell The Yielding meant. I still don't know what the hell it means. We tried to talk it out with each other. It was his idea. I still don't get it, but if you want to look it up, it's up there. And I've released several other stuff. I have older stuff, you know, if anybody's ever interested in that. Like, if you look up Gary Cantrell on iTunes, I have music up there. I think I have like one song, but I have a song up there called Another Day. And that's a whole another story for another day, no pun intended. So I've got a lot involved in music. I'm not done yet. You know, I've been on kind of a break for the last year or so. My cousin and I wrote two songs. We recorded them, we released them, and then we kind of just went stagnant. He got busy, I got busy. This year I just been on a freaking roller coaster ride with this weight loss journey, and I haven't really put a whole lot of thought into what I want to do musically, but I do know that I'm still interested in writing music. I do know that I'm still interested in eventually putting out a full release. So I just got to get my ass back in gear once I get my health in shape, and I'm going to start writing again. But if you're ever interested and you want to hear some of my more recent stuff that's actually available, like on Apple Music, Spotify, that kind of stuff, you can either look up Gary Cantrell or you can look up The Yielding. And if you need links, I can send them to you. Number five, I'm addicted to unboxing and tech product reviews on YouTube. This is so damn true. You ought to see me. I get an hour for lunch at work, and I spend that hour, I'm on YouTube, and I watch unboxing videos and tech reviews. Guys like Unbox Therapy, guys like Flossie Carter. Flossie Carter is the man. If you're into tech and you're into like unboxings and reviews and you're not watching Flossie Carter, you're missing out. He's awesome. Look him up and you'll see why. So Unbox Therapy, Dom Esposito, just a bunch of different tech review guys. Your Average Consumer, Soldier Knows Best, Ty Moss, all these kind of guys. I just devour these videos for hours on end. When I get home, I'm watching the stuff on the TV. I'm just hooked. I can't get enough of unboxing and tech reviews on YouTube. If I'm about to buy something, or even if I just bought it, I'm sitting here watching videos about it, hundreds of videos about it, and that's no exaggeration. Number six, I never went to college. This is a true story. In high school, I thought I was a badass. Like, I didn't give a damn about nothing, okay? I just did me, like, you know, one thing a lot of people don't know, and I've never shied away from it. I just don't know that I've ever said it like in public, but actually, I'm just going to say it right here, right now. So you guys will just know, like, from third grade to the 12th grade, I was in special education. This is a true story. I had ADHD. I probably still have ADHD, but I think I probably have it under much better control now. But yeah, for 9 years of my 12 years in school, I was in special education. I had like emotional disabilities. I had trouble learning disabilities. I just had all kinds of problems. And when I got to high school, you know, that's like the first time I ever fell in love. So all I gave a shit about was like hooking up with my girlfriend and watching wrestling and, you know, just random stuff. So as far as my schooling was concerned, I never paid great attention. Like I was in like a general math class in my senior year because the other 2 years I had flunked math and they were like, well, you know, you're good in other stuff. Like, we're not going to let you fail. You have to just take this general math so we can, you know, give you a passing grade. And, you know, my high school was a mess. I never took it super seriously. And by the time I was done, like, I had no aspiration to go to college. And like a month or two after I got out of high school, I joined a band. So my wants to go to college just were not there. And probably in hindsight, it probably would have been smart if I would have thought about it and gone. I mean, I probably would be a different person today. But also, you know, the kind of music I would eventually get into was really big in colleges, and it probably would have propelled me to new opportunities in that field. But I just never looked into it. And even all these years later, I'm just like, I was never one of those guys where I'm like, it's too late to go. But I'm just like, I just don't have any interest. Like, what am I going to get out of it? You know what I'm saying? Like, what am I going to get out of it? I have a great job right now where just about everybody that works there has gone to college and I did not. And since then we've had people, I'm sure, that haven't gone to college, but I know when I first got there, I was one of like the only people that worked there that did not go to college. And I wear that like a badge of honor. Like, if I can hang with these people, like, it made me feel like I was worth it. Like I belonged. And I had to earn my spot and I had to, you know, I had to work hard for that because hard work always wins. Cheap plug. But I just, you know, for the longest time, I felt like I was never any good because I didn't go to college. But now I'm just like, I don't need it. I'm good without it. And like, I'm doing all this other side stuff. I'm writing the book. I'm, you know, telling my story on online through social media. And, you know, I want to turn this into, you know, releasing the book and going on a speaking tour and all this kind of stuff. Cause I want to help people, but that could be the career and you don't need to go to college to help people. Like, you can just live your life. You can go through life, experience stuff and talk to people. Not that they're going to copy what you've done exactly, but it just gives them a different way to think. And I think you can help people on that level. So that's just kind of the short of what I plan to do. So I don't need college. I'm not like F college, but I'm just like, I don't need it. Number 7, I once ran away from home at the age of 9 with my cousin, who was the same age, in a duffel bag full of action figures. We returned home an hour later. Now this one, a lot of people have been replying to this one because they're just like, wow, that's crazy. This is a true story. My cousin, his sister, told us that we were not going to take roller skates outside. And as a little son of a bitch that I was like, oh yeah, we are. She's like, no, you're not. And I'm like, watch, we're going to run away. And we did. I had a duffel bag, Raiders duffel bag for the record, filled with action figures. I mean, just loaded up with every toy action figure I could find. Because at the age of 9, I'm like, hey, I'm going to run away from home. I need all my toys. I need most of them. I think my Super Mario Brothers 3 cartridge was in that bag. I didn't have Nintendo in that bag with me, but I had the cartridge. I don't know how the hell I was going to play the game, but I had the cartridge. And this other kid snitched on us. He saw us in at a playground, a neighborhood over, and ratted us out. And we went home. and our parents were pissed. But we live to tell the tale. So there you go. That's the story of how I ran away from home. Maybe I'll put that one in the book. That should be funny. It'd be a good story. Number eight, I am a die-hard wrestling fan. Now, I won't go too geeky into this because it tends to turn people off if you go too geeky about wrestling, so I won't do that to you. But I'll just tell you that in 1991 was when I first started watching full-time. Prior to that, I had run-ins with it. I had a cousin of mine. She ordered me WrestleMania 5, which was Hogan and Savage. The mega powers explode, brother. I'm actually looking at a Hulk Hogan poster in my office right now. No Holds Barred, 1989. So wrestling's always kind of been there a little bit. But in 1991, there was a kid in my class who was a big wrestling fan. He would pack his book bag filled with wrestling figures. And every day on the bus, we would have wrestling matches on the top of the seat with different guys like the Honky Tonk Man and Greg the Hammer Valentine and Hulk Hogan and Jake the Snake. And that year, my mother got me my first two figures, which was Hulk Hogan and Jake the Snake, in a ring. And I remember interviewing Jake the Snake Roberts for a podcast and telling him this story. Boy, he sounded like he was really enthused about it. but it was 1991, and Hogan was on top. This is kind of the tail end of his first run, but that's where I got my start in wrestling full-time, and I've been watching full-time ever since. The product has had its ups and downs. Today's wrestling is far different than it was 20, 30 years ago, obviously for good reason, but you know, I still watch it. I can't get away from it. I don't watch it as diehard as I used to, but every year I still travel to wherever WrestleMania is, and that's like a yearly vacation. Number nine, speaking of wrestling, I once met Hulk Hogan, a day I'll never forget, brother. So I was in Orlando, Florida. The wrestling company TNA Wrestling, who is now known, I think, as Impact Wrestling, or just Impact, I have no idea what the hell they're doing, was going live on Monday nights, head up against the WWE and Monday Night Raw. And I got there a day early, and I was staying in the same hotel that the wrestlers were staying at, not Hulk Hogan, but there was a party the night before at Universal Orlando at Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville, and Hulk Hogan was there. And in the crowd, I saw him, and he was walking past, and I pushed through people, and I stopped him, and I said, can I please have a picture? He's like, go ahead, brother. And so we took a picture, and I got the picture, and it was awesome. And that was it. I mean, I met my childhood hero. I had about 150 things I wanted to tell him, but he was just taking pictures and moving right along. I had no opportunity. I just said, I love you. So I love you too, brother. And that was it. That's my Hulk Hogan story. I hope to meet him one day, like in a meet and greet setting where he's actually sitting down and I can have maybe 30 to 45 seconds and tell him about the impact he had on my young childhood. But for now, we'll wait on that. I would actually love to take my No Holds Barred poster that I have in my office and have him sign it. I think that would be amazing. And I think I'm going to try to get that done. Number 10, I have been doing podcasting and internet radio in some form for 10 years. This is another topic that could be its own podcast. The history of me doing podcasts, doing internet radio. And by the way, if there's any of these topics that you want to hear me elaborate on to do an entire show about, I will do it. You just got to tell me. You just got to DM me on Instagram, comment on the post that you find this show on, whether that's YouTube, whether that's Instagram, Facebook, wherever you find the show, comment on the post or DM me and tell me which of these you want me to go deep into, and I'll do it. So 10 years I've been doing this. Just the very quick short history. It started out for me doing a wrestling podcast in 2007 when there was maybe a handful of wrestling shows, not to the level there is right now. But back in 2007, I started a show called The Shoot. I was inspired by a guy called The Shadow Man who did cable radio network Squared Circle talk on professional wrestling Friday night at midnight going into Saturday. And I did that show for 3 years straight. I ended the show on top, I would argue. We were at the highest we were going to be, and I was just kind of burned out. And I'm like, if you're going to go out on top. And then I kind of teased like, maybe I want to do this a little bit more. And then in 2012, I did like four or five little short episodes. And then in 2013, I converted it back into a live internet radio program where, I did that run for two more years. And went through all kinds of crazy stuff. There's a whole history of that show. I have a documentary, audio documentary I've been actively working on for years that I hope to finish one day, where I have interviews with all the people that have been a part of the show, and I'm going to put it together, and we're going to make it work at some point. I don't know how long it's going to take me. And then following that, I did Wrestling Informant Radio, which was Wrestling Informant is a website that I started. WrestlingInformant.com. There's not a whole lot there right now. It's because it's been on hiatus as I've been trying to get my health together. I've just not focused on a lot of these other side projects, and they've kind of gone to the wayside. But I hope to get them reinvigorated as I go. So Wrestling Informant Radio, it was a rebrand because the shoot from 2013 to 2015 kind of became like a lifestyle type show, just talking about my life, kind of similar to this, but in a different manner, talking like current events, sports, movies, music, all that stuff. And then I launched this podcast in May of this year, which is just completely different. And I think I've changed the format on you guys a couple times, but I'm all about keeping it fresh. I'm all about reinventing the game, and I hope to do this for another 10 years. So we'll see. Number 11. If I could live anywhere, I'd be in Charleston, South Carolina. I love this city. I've been down there more than a handful of times. I love, love, love Charleston. Been down there so many times. The weather, the people, the food, it's all amazing. It's cheaper to live down there. I hope that in the next 5 or 10 years, no, to hell with I hope, I will at some point relocate down there. I'm getting my life together, and as I start to wind down my life in a couple of years or go into the next stage of my life, that's where I hope to be. That's the dream, and you don't give up on your dreams. You just work your ass off to get to your dreams. That's my belief. So we'll see how that goes. We'll see how it pans out. We'll see how long it takes me to get there, but at some point, I will get there. Number 12, I didn't start driving until I was 28 years old. This is a very true story. In high school, I took the class and flunked it. And I always had like this weird self-conscious thing like, oh, I'm, you know, whatever it was, 18, 19, going to the DMV, trying to get my permit. Oh, that's what kids do. I'm too old for that now. And so I was self-conscious about it for a while, and so I never went. And then I was involved in a couple of car accidents when I was younger, and that really screwed me up, including one in 2003, the same day I found out one of my friends died. And I was riding to a show with one of my bandmates and got into an accident, and I was like, man, this is not for me. And then finally, in 2010, I got my crap together and decided that I was gonna do it. So I did it. Now I drive. It's awesome. Number 13, I nearly died in 2014. I mentioned this briefly, I think, on a couple of different places, but I'll just give you guys the very short of it. You know, I've been overweight for a long time, and I don't know that this was the factor, but it could have been one of the contributing factors. And that is, I had a bacterial infection in my left leg, which was cellulitis, as the result of an ingrown toenail. And with me being overweight, it just put my body into some kind of state of shock, and I nearly died. And I was in the hospital for 5 days before they let me out, which really, really, really sucked. And I'm so thankful to be alive and out of the hospital and living my life to the fullest. I've learned that you do not take this life for granted. You get one at bat in life, and you do not take it for granted. That's what I learned. That's what I hope you take away from this. You guys see me on Instagram. I'm always at a concert or somewhere. That's because I'm living my life to the fullest. Music makes me happy. Other things make me happy. And so I just find what makes me happy. And as Gary Vaynerchuk would say, I triple down on what makes me happy. He says triple down on what you're good at. I say triple down on what makes me happy. And that's what I do. Number 14, I hate seafood. There, I said it. I've never liked it. I've tried it several times, and I've just never been a fan. I don't like the taste. I don't like the texture. It's not for me. You're not going to argue me out of this. I just can't do it. Can't do it. All right. Number 15. I've tried 7 or 8 times to lose weight and failed every single time. This is so true. I was on the Eddie Knows Fitness podcast with Eddie Lindenstein. I hope I'm saying that right, Eddie. Sorry. Eddie Knows Fitness podcast, and I talked about this a little bit. But yeah, it's a true story. I've tried so many times, and I failed. This is usually the direct result of, you know, really just trying other people's, what other people think is what's going to work for me, and it never does work for me. I've tried the shakes. I've tried the pills. I've tried all this stuff. I've tried other people's visions of what they thought until this year. I figured out my own thing, and I to borrow Gary V thing, I tripled down on what I was good at, and I'm making it work. And that is the seriousness of that. I just triple down on what I'm good at. Am I good on the treadmill? Triple down on it. Am I good on the stair stepper? Triple down on it. Actually, quadruple down, because I do it 4 days a week. So there you go. The message of that is find what works for you and triple down on it. Triple down on what you're good at. Don't worry about what you're bad at. Don't worry about always improving what you're bad at. Triple down on what you're good at. Make it work for you. Number 16, prior to starting my current weight loss journey, I had an unhealthy addiction to McDonald's, 2 or 3 McDoubles a day on the drive home. Oh man, this strikes a pain in my heart, folks. I have an hour and a half commute on the way home because traffic's always bad. I'm always sitting in traffic. And this is a true deal. I would go to McDonald's nearly every day. If it wasn't McDonald's, it was Taco Bell. But at McDonald's, I knew my order. It was always 2 or 3 McDoubles, add Big Mac sauce, and then chicken nuggets and usually a milkshake. Small milkshake, but a milkshake. And I would eat all these things, and I would go home and eat dinner like nothing was wrong because I had an addiction problem. And addiction is a real thing. Addiction's not just drugs. It's not just alcohol. It's also things like food. And I had this problem, and I went every single day. My checkbook is empty a lot of times because I was going every single day, 10, 15 bucks a day, just eating all this crap because I felt that I needed something to get me through the ride home. Now, I just chew on ice. I drink water, and I chew on ice, and that gets me through my ride home. True story. Number 17, prior to starting my weight loss journey, I couldn't make it up one flight of stairs without nearly dying, just kidding, not like the dying in 2014, but now I climb an average of 200 floors a day, 4 times a week. This is so true. Before I got started, whether it was summer, especially worse in the summer, but in the winter, the fall, the spring, climbing up one flight of stairs was just deadly for me. I was out of breath. I could not breathe to save my life, and it was painful. It really was painful. And then I started this weight loss journey. I remember there was one random Sunday, which was one of my first times trying weights, probably in around February, because the month of January I was just doing all cardio, and by the time February rolled around, I added weights. And I remember doing the weights for an hour, and I'm like, well, you know, okay, cool, but I don't feel like I did anything. So I'm like, let me just do some cardio so I can sweat a little bit so I can have that feeling like I've done something. And so I got on the stairs, and after 5 minutes going up 10 flights, I was blown up. Now I go 4 times a week, and I climb an average of 200 floors a day, 4 times a week. I'm yawning because I just got home from the gym climbing 220-something floors today. So there you go. People ask me all the time, how do I make it up these flight of stairs every time I do it? And it's just patience. It's taking your time. It's taking mandatory breaks to breathe and drink water and replenish yourself and get back to it. I did a video about this. It's on my Facebook. You can check it out. Facebook.com/official Gary Cantrell. And you can watch all about it. Number 18, I predicted what would become the WWE Network in 2010. So I have a thing about predictions, and that goes in my next fact. But in 2010, and I have it on a podcast, and then in 2012, I think I have another podcast where I talk about, you know, I think it was in 2009 when I first started doing Netflix, you know, where you could stream stuff. And then kind of in 2010, it's like a throwaway. I was like, you know, WWE, if they had something like this, like Netflix, where I could just go on and watch the old pay-per-views, the old TV shows, whatever I want. Because in this day and age, in 2010, the cable systems have what was called classics on demand. And so every month, WWE would pick two or three pay-per-views and a couple of other random things, and they'd upload them to this classics on demand. Well, cool, but the problem is that they were picking what the content was, and I thought, you really need it to be like Netflix. You need to be able to pick whatever you want. So if I want to watch WrestleMania 4, I can go to the WrestleMania page and watch WrestleMania 4. So I'm on tape in 2010 predicting this. In 2012, I was on another podcast, and I also predicted the same damn thing, only this time I was talking about it being all internet. Before, I was kind of like, well, maybe it's a cable network. But essentially, I predicted this thing years before it happened. And I'm very proud of that. Very proud of that. In fact, I don't think I tout that enough. I need to find these audio clips and upload them to YouTube. Maybe I can go viral and make some YouTube money off that. There's a thought. Speaking of predictions, number 19. Speaking of predictions, I have a fun hobby of predicting what songs an artist or band are going to put on the radio as singles. And if it was baseball, I'd have one hell of a batting average. This is so true. I'm a music connoisseur. You guys know, like, if you follow me on the Instagram stories, I'm posting like songs of the day a lot of days and things like that. And I really feel like I have a good ear for music. And I only say that because there have been many times where I'm like, a band should put this song on the radio. This song will blow up. And, you know, I would listen to a full album and say, oh man, they should really make this the next single. I've gotten the opportunity to meet bands, and I've said, you should make this the next single. Now, it ended up being the single, and I'm not taking credit because I'm sure other people told them or they already had the idea. But there were several times where I thought a song should be on the radio, and it goes on the radio, and it blows up big time. Or just, you know, it just sounds good, and people know it. So I could do a whole podcast on that one day, but if you ever listen to a new album, especially a country artist, I can tell you the songs to hear and what they should play like. And I think, you know, people, whenever I recommend stuff to them, I've never gotten somebody to come back and said, oh, this song sucks, you know, or this song's not that great. Usually people are like, wow, that's pretty good. So I think I have a good ear for that. The problem is that I have so many good ideas in my head, and nobody a power that can pay me for these ideas is knows I exist or they're interested. So what happens is I just have these ideas in my head and they never go anywhere. I just say them and then people hear them. And then when something comes true, they're like, oh, didn't you say that? Yep, sure did. Number 20, speaking of music, I started playing guitar back in 1995. We were talking about this earlier. After falling in love with the band Nirvana. Yes, I was late to the party on that one. I'm referring to Kurt Cobain's suicide in 1994. I did not fully discovered Nirvana until 95. There was a kid, Ronald Delosier, who brought a tape in and played it on the boombox in a music room with me. He said, this is smells like Teen Spirit. You got to check this out. Yes, 4 years too late, but super awesome. Hearing Nirvana changed my life, and it was something to where I started playing guitar as a result and writing songs as a result, and they were a huge influence. So thank you, Ronald Delosier. I don't even know how the hell I remember that guy's name. I don't know where he is or if he's still alive, but I should look him up and see where he's around. Number 21, I'm a roller coaster junkie. True story, I love visiting theme parks. For 7 years, the last 7 years prior to this year, I have not gone to any theme park because I ballooned up in weight. I could not fit on anything. In 2010, I got kicked off a ride because they could not strap me in properly, and it was embarrassing to do that walk of shame. And let me tell you, it's freaking rough. So before that, I loved coasters. I went to theme parks all the time, Busch Gardens, King's Dominion, Six Flags, America. And now that my weight loss journey is in full effect, by next year, I should be close to my goal weight, But more importantly, before that, when parks start to open in April or May, I should be at an acceptable weight to fit on any ride I want. Right now, I can fit on most rides at King's Dominion, which is awesome. But I think there's more, obviously, there's more work to do. There's better room to improve. So I am hoping that, you know, by next summer, I'll be getting on all these rides with ease. Number 22, I'm obsessed with stadiums and arenas. I don't know where this came from. I don't know what started this, what kickstarted this. I just know that every time I've been to a stadium, I've always been fascinated, or an arena. Maybe it's just watching a lot of wrestling and seeing the different arenas they went into, perhaps. Going to football games with my family when I was younger at RFK Stadium. I always loved that place. I just had this weird fascination with them, and I especially love it now that, because I go to WrestleMania every year, I get to see new places that I've never been. Number 23. Oh, by the way, let me just say number 22, just as a final note, greatest arena in the world, Madison Square Garden. You've not been to an arena until you've been to Madison Square Garden. Legendary. Want to go to Chicago, the Allstate Arena, a.k.a. Rosemont Horizon, and see wrestling there one day? I will. Number 23, I love walking through malls just to get my steps in. Now, I've always been weird with malls. I just like to walk around in them. I don't buy a thing a lot of times. I just walk around. I go in stores. I look around, pick up stuff, look at the back of the box, ponder, should I buy? Should I buy? Nope. Go on, you know, the website and read reviews about stuff I'm not even going to buy. But I spend a lot of time in malls, and the good thing about this is I get my steps in. So I like going there just to get my steps in. Number 24, the beach is my happy place. This is so true, especially tying back to my previous statement about wanting to move to Charleston, South Carolina, which is right on a beach. I've always loved the beach, whether that's Ocean City, Maryland, Virginia Beach, the Imperial Beach in San Diego. I just love beaches in general. I love being at the beach. It is so my happy place, and one day I will live at a beach. It's going to happen at some point. I just don't know when. And finally, number 25, I am currently writing a book about my weight loss journey. I've mentioned this here and there on the podcast. I mentioned it, I think, earlier, but it is in fact true. I'm writing a book in real time about my journey, and it's not 100% weight loss centric. Obviously, I've got to set up my story, tell you guys about where I came from and kind of my background so that you understand me a little bit better, and then talk about my trials and tribulations of trying to lose weight, trying to, get in shape. And I think it's just going to help you guys to better understand and learn kind of where I'm at. So, and then of course the book will march through this current weight loss journey, kind of how I got started, the mindset, how it finally stuck. And then of course it will end with the ending result once I reach my goal, which has not happened yet. So again, I'm writing the book in real time, which is really kind of a cool thing because I don't have to go back and remember everything. I can just write it down in real time and then format it in a book form. So in the next year or two, you can expect that. Definitely going to be on Amazon. I do want to try to get a traditional publishing deal at some point. I don't know how the hell I'm going to do this, but I want to try to get a traditional publishing deal. So that way it'll afford me to be able to travel the country and speak and meet people and hopefully make an impact, because I know there's so many people out there that are probably like I was, that are stubborn, that think there is no road to success, no path to living your life in this way and winning and realizing all your dreams. And I'm here to say, in fact, that is false. You can do it. And I can say that because I was one of the laziest, most worthless POS people on the planet. I didn't want to do anything. I had no motivation, no drive, no ambition. And my life changed once I started. And you're going to find out all about this in the book. And in order to help me with this deal, the only thing I'll ever ask you guys, the only favor I would ever ask you guys is, if you think if you know somebody that is one of these stubborn people that's trying to lose weight, or they give up, they don't think they can do it, send them my way. That's the only thing I will ever ask. I'm not one of these people with GoFundMes and all this other stuff. I mean, I have t-shirts for sale. I have, you know, a book on the way, but I'm not one of these guys that's going to be constantly selling you and begging you for money and things like that. But what I would like is, you know, some attention on this journey, because if there's people out there that are like I was, you can send them my way, and I hope that I can make an impact in their life, because really that's what this is all about. That's why I made my journey public, so that I could help other people. That is the core reason. That is why I want to be out there with this journey. That's why I want to get eyes on my journey, so that I can help people. They might stumble onto my page and see what I'm doing and say, holy crap, I'm not going to copy what Gary's doing, but what Gary's doing is inspiring me to get started. So that's what I really want out of you guys. I don't want your GoFundMes. I'm not looking to sell you pills and wraps and all this other crap, Herbalife and It Works and all this other bull crap. But if you know people that are stubborn like I was, and you want to get them to help you, send them my way. And I want to talk to these people. I want to help as many people as I can realize that if you work hard, you will win every day of your life. And that's not just some kind of crazy catchphrase. It's the truth, because I'm living it right now. I'm seeing results right now. If I have people tell me to my face, you're full of shit, you're not telling the truth, you're lying. No, go on my Instagram at Gary Cantrell. I've posted every single one of my workouts. All 180 workouts that I've done are on there. They're documented. Nothing's erased. Nothing's private. Nothing's hidden. You can see it all right there. 10 months of progress. Don't tell me what I'm doing is fake. I'm not using any kind of supplements or any kind of anything. This is all natural. But I'm going to get off my soapbox now and in the podcast right now, because that's 25 things about me in no particular order. You guys voted for it on Instagram stories. I appreciate you guys voting for it. For the two that voted no, I don't even know why you follow me, because you guys know I'm a podcaster. I think one of them even sells Herbalife or It Works. So there you go. They didn't want to hear me podcast. I don't want to hear them sell. So there you go. I just thought I'd add that in. I thought it was pretty funny. Kind of interesting, ironic in a way. Anyway, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. I hope you got some kind of better learning about it. And I encourage you to post 25 things about you, and I'll be out there looking for your stuff on Instagram. So thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you guys so much for the support. Thank you guys so much. Whether you've been listening to one episode, two episodes, three episodes, or all the episodes, thank you so much for your support. I really, really appreciate you guys. It means the world to me. And as far as my weight loss journey supporters, all you guys out there, thank you so much. I hope that I inspire you guys as much as you inspire me. That's real talk. I love you guys so much. Thank you so much for all your support. It means the world to me. I'm going to wrap this podcast up. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll talk to you guys next week. I hope I have a guest. We'll see how it goes. Talk soon, guys.